when you're in this state of being dependent upon God, a poor in spirit person, that's not poor financially, poor spiritually, then you're dependent upon God. When you do that, you're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Your spiritual bank account is bankrupt apart from Christ.
It's a dependence on Him.
But through always. Christ, you can do all things. But apart from Christ, you can do nothing.
I was just going to say, it's like a dependence on Him. It's always being in need of Him and His wisdom and His, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're saying.
And you got to be humble to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you, what's the opposite? I don't need you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
I got
pride.
This.
Self-righteous.
So
yeah.
In order to be dependent, we have to do some things to keep our heart humble.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? That's right. That's right.
Welcome to the Forgotten Jesus Podcast. I'm your host, Adam French. We got Pastor Robbie Gallaty and Candy Gallaty with us today. We're excited to get into it.
Man, we are here again, back for more of the Sermon on the Mount.
Come on.
Yeah.
Tell them real quick before we get started about our time at Trousdale not long ago.
Wow. So Trousdale is one of the reasons why we went there. Statistically, supposed to be one of the roughest prisons in the United States of America.
Wow.
And so, like you said, we just felt like God impressing our heart that we wanted to go there and let the light of Jesus Christ shine. So last week, it feels like forever ago, but last week we were able to go and feed about 200 men steak dinners.
Whoa. It wasn't just steak, though. Tell them. It was steak. It was a sauce.
There was like three different.
It was mashed potatoes.
What kind of sauce was it? Like a chimichurri?
I don't know. One of our guys said the sauce looked so good, he wanted to swim in.
Apparently, it was amazing because one guy was telling us everything about it, but we didn't get to eat. We were just filling up plates.
Our team served the guys, and we steak, potatoes, carrots, green beans, rolls, sweet tea. They went through, and here's what happened. So we thought we were going with our crew. We have about 25, 30 of us, serving. We thought with our crew, because we didn't eat. It was like 5 o'clock, 4:30. So we thought we'll serve them, and then we'll get to eat. Well, those guys, bless their heart, they came.
They're smart. They're smart guys.
They got back in line. The line never stopped.
It was
wrapped around the building.
It was a feeding of the 15,000.
We could have fed those guys for, I don't know how we didn't run out of food.
I mean, they went. Literally, it's kind of amazing.
After three times around, somebody got three plates after three times around.
Wow.
But here's the thing, the line that got me, man, really hit me, was a guy came up. He was so overwhelmed and thankful. He's like, man, thank you guys so much for caring enough to come and feed us. He said, I haven't eaten steak since 1998. Steak since 19. I'm like, where was I in 98? I was in college.
That's like 27 years.
Candy was in elementary school. I mean, I was in college.
No, honey, I was in 98. I was in college too.
I'm trying to give you the benefit. You're only 20.
That's, I think it's a picture of what we're trying to do. We want to be the love of Christ. We want to show people that they're worthy, that they have a voice, that they're not forgotten. That was one of the big things when I sat down. I sat down with two guys named Nate and Daryl. And they were both just like, and they caught me off guard because they just said, hey, thank you for coming. I want you to know, like, we have in here, some of us have family, we have friends, and they don't come and see us.
We
feel forgotten. And I mean, I was just so excited to be there, and I wasn't even thinking of that, but they were saying, thank you for coming to see us. And then right after that, we had our worship team. Partnered with the prison worship
band.
Team.
Oh, dude, it was unbelievable. Our band with their band. Golly, you talk
the
about
drummer,
revival.
Their drummer was getting down.
Next level.
He's getting down.
Next level, yeah. And the cool thing about that is it's simply the ministry of presence. That's all it is. It's just, I had one guy say to me, he said, not here, he said this at Walker State to me. He came up to me at the end. He said, there are a lot of pastors in this world who are hirelings, but you're a shepherd.
Oh, wow.
He told me, he said, a lot of guys want to come for photo ops and what they can get, but we know your heart in Long Hollow, and you guys are here not to post or make a big, you're here because you love and care about us. And I thought, wow, that's it. So we had a wonderful time at the trip. One of the visions we have for this, the Lord put on our heart 2 years ago, was what could happen if we start to, and Trousdale is going to be the first go. It's kind of the laboratory. Right. Those guys lost their minds when I told them, you guys are going to be the beginning of what I think is going to be a movement in America and the world. And that is, if you could reach people in captivity and get them to be free in Christ and be used by God, whether they get out or not, or whether they stay in. Imagine going to the prison, captive audience. Here's the vision the Lord gave me. Raising prisoners up by educating them with a seminary education. So we have a school of ministry at Long Hollow, 2-year degree, where you can learn New Testament, Old Testament. You're going to learn systematic theology 1, 2, and 3. You're going to learn evangelism. You're going to learn discipleship. I'll teach you preaching. I'll teach one of the courses on Bible exposition. And then we take that in the prison and we raise up for a year or two these prison pastors to be who will then be transferred. Adam and I were talking about this, requesting to be transferred to other prisons around the country as pastors over the pods.
That's awesome.
Well, and just side note, we need to be in Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office is what we need to be in.
Apparently they had a breakout.
There was a jailbreak.
Really?
Yeah, we can talk about this.
Yeah,
but
she's all into the
I forgot. She's got family members. She's Detective Candy.
Whole family's a law enforcement.
News report here. News report.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Like the, I mean, the seven of them are still out. They're at large, and
I
only
think it was
three...
an inside job because by the time they figured out they were gone, it was like 7 hours later. Or
well,
5 hours later.
It was definitely an inside job. There ain't no doubt about that.
Then they realized the prisoners were gone. Like 9 of them got out.
But what I'm saying is, are we in
7 hours later? They just happened.
Count. It's a whole thing. I don't want to take up the whole podcast. But what my point is, are we in, we need to, I hope we can get into some of those prisons too.
Make
like,
an
I don't know that, how many that we're in.
Well, we're planning a tour. I don't know if we can talk about this, but we are planning a little tour where we're going to try to hit prisons in Arkansas, Texas, and end in Louisiana and Angola. So
let's go. Well, listen, three of them that were captured have been sent to Angola. They ain't going back to like.
Okay. Yeah, they don't play down there.
No. They're like.
Well, it's kind of funny. The transition of this is like we want it to be an inside job, but we want it to be for the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to go the inside, make disciples, train them up so that they can go out and build campuses across the country. And the vision is that we also want to have it on the Pando app. So guys, if you're listening right now, you're watching, we hope to have it on the Pando app. That's going to come later. Obviously, we've got to build a foundation of it, but that's going to come. Now, talk about
our school on the Pando app.
The school. Yeah. Another thing, going back to Trousdale, though, you talked about this in the beginning. It was so – you could feel the change. So we had four songs.
Yeah.
Song 1 and 2, we're all the men in there were kind of like, praise Jesus, you know. And then by the last song, I mean, we're all turning around just – trust, the song is, I have been playing over again, Trusting God song.
Trusting God.
Come on. So I can't, here we go.
My Savior.
We can't say it.
The one.
But we're screaming it, and then you come up, share the gospel. 25 men stand up.
In the Christian pod. These are guys supposed to be believers because they're already in discipleship and growing, but apparently they hadn't surrendered to Christ.
Fully,
so
25
accept Christ. 25
give life to Jesus.
But then
21 say, hey, I want to come forward in believers' baptism. I want to publicly say, I want to show the world the inward expression of my faith. I want to publicly say I'm a follower of Jesus in a prison cell, in a prison setting. And so we baptized 21. Robbie dunked them all, got them all in the water. And, while that's happening, worship is still happening.
Yes.
So I'm trying to paint the picture if you're listening and hope you can see. You're in a room. We're actually in a hot box. It's about 90 degrees in the gym.
It was hot.
And there's 20 guys from Long Hollow, and then there's 200 men in prison, and Robbie's baptizing them over in the corner. The worship music is going on with our team and their team. Everybody's singing worship, and it's clapping. I mean, it was a revival.
It was a revival.
We're having revival in the prison. As we started with, one of the toughest prisons in America, but... God was at work.
The jailhouse truly rocked that day.
Yeah
the jailhouse.
There
right.
we go. I know you got some stuff for us this morning. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to get into.
Yeah, so we're going to continue our journey through Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to figure out what Matthew's doing by putting this sermon here in his gospel. Because, as I said earlier, Jesus is painting or he's putting together a scenario. He's putting all the pieces in place to call a kind of a knee-jerk reflex. So because they knew the Old Testament so well, when they would be subjected to certain things that would, it would smell a certain way, it feel a certain way, look a certain way, it was kind of like the doctor who took that little, when you were little, he took that little hammer and hit your knee. And
your reflex.
The reflex, your leg shot out.
Yeah.
They know the Old Testament so well. When they see these scenarios, it's like a reflex. They know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now, the challenge for us American Western Christians, we don't know the Old Testament well, and I put myself in that category. I don't know as well as I should and want to, but because they did, they saw all the connections,
right.
Okay? So let's read Matthew 5, 1 again, just the first two verses, and I want to put together this picture in your mind of what's happening, and I want you to notice where you find this in the Old Testament. So, Candy?
Okay.
Matthew 5, 1.
When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying.
Okay, here we go. She got it.
She quoted that. Oh, look, she's just next
she's
level.
Good, she? Well, she's got that scripture way
off.
Better.
That's
than
okay.
That.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. Yeah. Okay. So what we have here is this. Jesus goes up to what?
The mountain.
A mountain. Then he what? Sits down. Why does he sit down? Because that's the way rabbis taught.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Remember the difference between the American preaching service and an ancient synagogue service was, and today you sing three or four songs, you have an announcement, you have a sermon, or you have an announcement, you have an offering. You gotta have it all up formulae. So we follow the same kind of formula. Announcement, offering, preaching, ending song, invitation, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. The preaching of an American Western service is about 40 minutes on average, some less, some more. The worship is about 15 minutes. So you stand for 15 minutes and the audience sits for 40 to 45. Watch this. In the ancient service, it was you stood for 45 minutes while they read scripture. There was no worship.
Just honoring it.
Yeah, it was no singing in the sense of that service. It was just reading scripture. And many would be crying and some would be screaming and shouting. Why? Because this isn't just the words of man. This is the word of God.
Yeah.
God is still speaking to us. And then the speaker would sit with the people and he would speak to them for 5 minutes. That's the sermon. Yeah, don't get any ideas, long, hollow, or whatever.
That's the opposite, right?
Yeah, just the opposite. But here's the thing. The weight of that service was on the word.
The word.
Yes.
The word of God. Okay.
Right.
So.
Well, and I just think, too, with Jesus, and this just shows how our cultures are so different, but there, I feel like, you know, Jesus is never really in a rush. Like, he sits down, the disciples come to him, and then he goes on to just teach them. But there's like no, you know, I got to get to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, even though things are going to happen as they move on to different places. But there's just a level of like taking it down a notch and not rushing. Yeah. And he's just teaching as they go through life. And I don't, you know, we are so not like that in our, and I'm not saying that's bad necessarily, but we all have to go from one thing to the next on a time frame, you know, like everything is scheduled out like to the T.
Yeah.
Whereas Jesus is going through his life. They come to him, he sits down,
never
and he begins to teach them. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I love the beauty in just sitting down and they just talk, you know?
Yeah.
And he teaches, and there's no,
rush or trying to get out for
10
lunch.
10 minutes, I got to get to my next meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Not only is he slowing down, he's going to teach something they already knew, by the way. A lot of this stuff they already knew, but he's going to interpret it correctly for them. So you're going to see right out the gate, hopefully we get to this, but you're going to love this. But the Beatitudes I found are actually a retelling, you're going to love this, Vivian, of Isaiah 61. Yeah, I've never seen this till I started looking deep this morning, and I was like, wow, this is a real big connection. We'll get to that moment.
Okay.
But let me tell you what he's doing. So he goes up to a mountain. Automatically, we're thinking back to the Old Testament. He begins to teach them, and then he teaches them the law of God, if you will, the commands of God. That reminds us of Moses in Exodus 19 and 20, when Moses goes up with the Lord to a mountain. He hears from God, and then when he comes down with the Ten Commandments, first time they're worshiping a calf, it goes back up, gets them again, comes back out. But when he comes down again, he basically reads or explains to them the commandments, and that's the expectations of God for the people. Jesus is going to do the same thing. So what he's doing is he's recreating this scenario of the Old Testament. Now, the major difference between Jesus and Moses, because Jesus is showing them he's the new Moses, there's a couple major differences. The main difference is this. Moses' blessings in the Old Testament were largely conditional, meaning if you do this or obey this way, God will do this. Okay, Jesus is like the Beatitudes are not, if you're poor in spirit, you're going to inherit the kingdom of earth. Like, you need to do that. The Beatitudes are more of a state of being. When you're in this state of being dependent upon God, a poor in spirit person, that's not poor financially poor spiritually, then you're dependent upon God. When you do that, you're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Tell us a little bit, because listeners may not say, what does it mean poor in spirit spiritually? Can you kind of define that?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Okay. And we're going to get to that when we unpack these one by one. But it basically, the word you could translate, I looked it up this morning in the Septuagint, which is the Greek form of the Old Testament Hebrew. It's actually the word for beggar. It's interesting. Wow. So as long as you stay in a state of begging spiritually. Now, we're not beggars by position in Christ, because once Christ calls us into his kingdom, we're kingdom citizens, joint heirs with Jesus, equal to anybody else, the ground's level at the cross. However, the mindset you need to adopt is you never get to the place when you're dependent upon self. Mm. You're begging in a sense. You have this mindset of being your spiritual bank account is bankrupt apart from Christ.
It's a dependence on him.
But through always. Christ, you can do all things. But apart from Christ, you can do nothing.
What were you going to say, Candy?
I was just going to say, it's like a dependence on him. It's always being in need of him and his wisdom and his, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're saying.
And you got to be humble to do that.
Yeah.
Like, what's the opposite? I don't need you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
I got
pride.
This.
Self-righteous.
So
yeah.
In order to be dependent, we have to do some things to keep our heart humble.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. That's right. That's right. Because we're self-reliant. So the first one from the difference is, the second one, Jesus's Beatitudes often bless state of beings that seem rather counterintuitive. For example, you would think, why would the poor be blessed? Poor,
right.
Why would the meek be blessed? That's not Western American power and success. Success in America is you need to be over the top. You need to be domineering. You need to be putting people down. You need to be stepping on and stepping over people. That's not Jesus.
Mm. That's good. I never thought about that. You're right. We would, if you were to say, you take the random person and say, hey, what does it mean to be blessed? Even if they're not a Christian, they would not list these out.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody's listing these on their top 10 of blessings.
That's right.
No. You got 9. You could do 10 if you take the last one, but you have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You have 9.
9.
So you have 9 of them. If somebody said to you, it's a great point, I never thought of that, give me your top 9 on how to thrive in the world. It's none of these.
There's no books. Yeah, no book titles.
Maybe humility, but the rest, because a lot of the leaders.
You're definitely not saying being persecuted.
No. Be meek. That's the one people, I have a great teaching or a great insight I want to teach on that. But okay, so it's not that. It's also Moses's blessings focus on material and national prosperity, like land, real estate. God will give you certain things.
Right.
Whereas Jesus is tapping into a spiritual dimension here.
Okay.
So you could be rich in the Lord and yet poor financially, but you're still rich. You can be free in prison,
satisfied.
More free than a person walking free, but bound by sin.
That's
or
good.
Alcohol. I told the guys this really resonated with it. Most of you, God had to lock you up to set you free.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah.
He had to lock you up to get you off drugs. He had to lock you.
That was me. That was raising my hand.
Bro, you had to lock you up to get you off of alcohol. You know, he did to do that.
Wow.
What a gift.
It's beautiful.
What a gift from God. He loves you so much that he says, man, I want the best for you. It's going to seem hard in the moment, but long term, it'll be the best. And that's why every person has an opportunity how they're going to respond. You can't control situations in life, but you can control how you respond.
Sounds like a sermon that I heard recently.
I heard that. Okay, let's get to this. We're not going to get time. Okay,
sorry, go ahead.
So the Beatitudes are divided. Just to give you the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are divided into 2 major sections, just like the 10 Commandments, by the way.
Okay.
The 10 Commandments, if you remember, are divided into 2 categories. The first 4, what? Love God.
Right.
The next 6?
Love people.
Love people. So it's vertical, horizontal.
Okay.
The Beatitudes are the same thing.
Okay.
Our relationship with God and then our relationship to man. And you'll notice there's a direct connection between horizontal and vertical. And what Jesus is showing us is, and I tell couples this when couples will come and say, man, we need a marriage counseling and this woman here or this guy jerky. And I say, hey, you can't fix anyone else but yourself. Obviously, God, the only person God can fix, you know, that you have anything to do with is you. So stop worrying about exterior circumstances you can't control and focus on your relationship with him. And so if you want to change your environment, focus on God. Drive in, press in, draw near to God. And what will happen is as your vertical relationship rises, the horizontal relationships seem to work out. It's
That's
amazing
good.
How that works.
That's good.
So if you want to fix your wife or your husband or your family members or the people who left you or job or your employer or employees, So we're going to get a relationship with the Lord and watch what God does.
For the skeptic, listen, I mean, it's logical.
Yeah.
If God is the creator of all of us, so getting to know him, getting to understand how he works, how he operates, his character, it makes sense. I mean, it's logical that all the other relationships would improve.
Mm-hmm. But he made you, so he knows what's best for you.
Right.
And so I would rather rely on him. Okay, so the Beatitudes are that. And we're going to get to what the word Beatitude means, but I want to go to Isaiah 61 because I teased that out. So, Candy, go to Isaiah 61.
Okay.
Adam, you're going to stay at Matthew 5.
Okay.
And here's what we're going to do. I want you to see the concepts here. The words are not going to be exact, but the concepts are going to be right there. Okay.
Okay.
So, I want you to read Isaiah 61. Now, let me set up what Isaiah 61 is. Do you know what Isaiah 61 is? I'm going to take a guess.
It's the Messiah's Jubilee.
Wow.
That's the title in mine, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I was like, man, you're on. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
She looked at your notes before.
Okay, yeah, I probably should look at the
pericope.
Look at my Bible. Okay, so the pericope of the bold section tells us. Now, here's what Isaiah 61 is. It is a messianic psalm. I mean, a messianic text by Isaiah back then to the people of Israel in captivity. However, he is describing the messianic kingdom in a sense. What happens when the Messiah comes on the scene? What kind of agenda is he going to follow? What kind of messages is he going to preach? What kind of way is he going to live? What kind of miracles will he perform? You see where I'm going here? Mm-hmm. Now, what's cool about this, Isaiah 61, this passage is used repeatedly in the life of Jesus. Okay? Now watch this. Where, pop quiz, Vivian, you and Robert can know. Where do we find the first time Jesus is going to quote this passage from Isaiah 61? Because he quotes it.
What passage?
Let's read the...
We got to know the passage,
here.
Right?
True. Go ahead. I know the passage.
I would say,
okay.
Everybody looking like, wow,
that is great.
If I had to guess.
Obadiah 1, what is that passage quote? Nobody even knows.
I would say during the temptation.
Okay. Hold on. Okay, no, let's get to read it. You're right. Read Isaiah.
Really?
No, that's not right. But no, I'm saying let's get to reading and then we can see. So Isaiah 61, I want you to read verses 1 through 11 ultimately. Yeah, it's a long reading, but I want you to just do 1 through 4 for context.
For first. Okay. All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Mm. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes.
Okay. No, I just said read 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I thought you said 1 through 4.
Oh, 1 through 4. Okay, keep going.
Okay. Is that it, though?
You keep going. I mean, you can read it for context, but we're...
Okay, festive oil instead of mourning and splendid clothes instead of despair, and they will be called righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify him. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the former devastations. They will renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And then that's
cool. Okay. So what we have here is a picture of what? What is he describing here? For a people in captivity, what is he describing here?
Liberty.
Yeah, freedom.
Freedom, Lord's favor.
Yes.
He talks. Yeah, they're going to get out of, well, they're in captivity. So he's saying to proclaim liberty to the captives. So
yes.
He's saying, I'm going to take you out of this place and there's going to be a place of freedom. You know.
Yes.
Comfort, healing,
broken hearts will be mended.
Crown
the
of beauty instead
will,
of ashes.
Yeah,
yes, all that.
Exactly. Okay. So this passage is used by Jesus where? For the first time, where do we see Jesus? Vivian, you're going to take a wild guess. What are you going to say?
When he first enters the synagogue to teach. And
bingo.
Yeah, because didn't
let's
he
go,
read
Viv.
That? Or were they reading it? Or
okay, so they read it. Yeah, Vivian's on. Yeah. No, yeah, so they... They handed him the Torah. The scroll.
It.
We went back and forth. I read an interesting insight recently that pushed me over. Remember, I go back and forth. Was it a liturgical calendar that everyone was using back? There was a liturgical calendar being used in the second century. The question is, was it being used in the first century? Meaning, like today, you go to any Jewish synagogue in the world or any Jewish believer who's following the Torah is reading the Haftarah and the Parashah, and they're reading these scriptures that are all on the same page. Kind of like the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Every Catholic Church is going to have the same Old Testament, Gospels and epistle reading every Sunday, whatever church you go to, okay? Well, the question is, was that happening in the first century? If it was, it's one more miracle demonstration from Jesus, meaning they gave him the scroll of Isaiah 61 on that day, at that time, and that was the reading on that day, which is profound. God could have done that. Whether he did it or not, it doesn't matter. But if he did, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So that he read it, and he read the first part, and we said he stopped at verse 2. He only read to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and didn't get to and the day of God's vengeance, because there was a two-sided coin for the nation. They wanted to be free themselves, but they wanted their enemies to pay. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to go back to Israel unless the Babylonians suffered, because you did this to us and you deserve. But God, but Jesus says, no, that's not the kingdom, guys. Mm-hmm. This is not, there'll be a time for that when I return a second time. But the first time, I'm here to bring jubilee. I'm here to bring joy. I'm here to set the captives free. So he preaches it on the front end, this scripture, and then he explains it. Watch this. We also are introduced to another time. This same passage comes into play. It's not on the lips of Jesus, but it's actually on the lips of another person asking Jesus a question. Anybody want to take a gander?
No.
Johnny Baptist. Johnny the Dunker.
He's from Puryear, Tennessee.
Yeah, he's a redneck from Puryear. Yeah, yeah. Redneck Israelite. John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends word to his disciples and says,
"Oh, that's right. Is this?
Are you the one to come? Or no? I'm sorry. I say it was on the lips of John. It was on the lips of Jesus too. John. Let me correct. He says, "Are you the one to come? Or should we look for someone else?" I have an amazing insight on this one too. Golly, I cannot wait for this one. Are you the one? I got a lot of cool insights coming. Believe me. Or excited about it, but are you the one to come, or should we look for someone else? And Jesus sends, he doesn't just say, what are you talking about, John? You know me, bro. You should. No, he says, go tell John this. And then he quotes Isaiah 61. Let's just go read the text. I'm not going to quote. Matthew 11, verse 1.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, just read verse 4.
Verse 4, Jesus replied to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor are told the good news, and blessed is the one who isn't offended by me.
Okay, it's literally the Beatitudes truncated, okay, in miniature. But what he's doing is he's quoting Isaiah 61. Yes. What he's saying is, John, you know what the messianic agenda is. I'm not making this up. I'm not just doing it. I'm following a playbook from heaven, and I'm demonstrating for you who I am. So not only are you seeing the miraculous works of the Messiah, because I'm the one performing these works, I'm the guy.
Wow.
So hang in there, John.
That's good.
Because what John's asking is, are you the one to come, or should we look for someone else? What he's saying is, if you're the Messiah and you're supposed to do this, why am I in prison? Because that's not part of the script. I'm supposed to be free. When the Messiah comes, we're supposed to reign victorious. We're supposed to decimate our enemies. We're supposed to conquer the Roman. What am I doing in prison? And why are we seemingly weak? And Jesus says, hey, I didn't come for that, John. And by the way, when Jesus says, blessed is the one who's not offended by me, what he's saying to John is, basically, I'm not going to get you out. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. It's this life will end for you, but that's the beginning of eternity. That's not the end. It's just the beginning. So that's what he's saying. Now watch this. So Isaiah 61 tells us this agenda. Isn't any wonder Jesus begins the Beatitudes with you're going to love this. Reframing Isaiah 61. Now let's read Isaiah 61 again, just the first part. One more time, just read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to and then Adam, you read Matthew 5. Now watch, I want you to see the similarities here. Okay, so Candy, you go.
I gotta get to it.
I got
it.
If you want me to
I
read.
Went the wrong
no well, you're doing Matthew 5. She's doing Isaiah one more time, and then in context, and I want you, if you're
one
listening
through what now,
just 1 through 3.
Okay, the Spirit of the Lord,
or 1 through 2, sorry.
The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn.
Okay, go to 7. Let's read 7, 8, 9. It goes to 11, but I'm just trying to Okay. For context.
In place of your shame, you will have a double portion. In place of disgrace, they will rejoice over their share. So they will possess double in their land, and eternal joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and injustice. I will faithfully reward my people.
Now, let me just stop you. You're hearing these things. I will faithfully reward my people. I will give you honor in the place of shame. For those who disgrace you, you will have blessing. Okay, so you're starting to see a theme here. Now, Adam, watch this. Let's read the Beatitudes, and I want you to listen with the ear, based on Isaiah 61, Candy, what we're hearing here. Number one,
blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Boom, that's right in Isaiah 61, 1. Okay, keep going.
Then this one, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Verse 3, provide those, or two, blessed are the comfort the mourn. I mean, literally word for it. Keep going.
Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth.
Okay, you see that with those being destroyed and your pounds being devastated, but God's going to reward you with a double portion in your shame. Keep going.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Yep, I just saw that
love
one.
Love justice.
Mm-hmm. Righteousness. Yeah,
I will faithfully reward my people.
Yep, okay. Reward people. Keep going. They're all through here. Let's just stop and keep reading. You listen. Right.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
That's justice and injustice. That's what that is.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Mm. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Okay, so all through this, you see Jesus. Now, what is Jesus doing? Yes, he's reinterpreting this Old Testament law, but what he's doing is Jesus is saying, I'm the Messiah. Mm. By doing this, by starting with the Beatitudes, Jesus is saying, this is the way you're going to flourish on earth as in heaven. So next week, here's what we're going to do. You're going to love this next week. We are going to unpack. So your homework assignment is this, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here. And Chris, we're going to have to get, I wonder if we can get a board, but I don't know if that's too much, if I can draw on a board. But
too much.
Maybe too much. Chris can put it in post production. Sorry, Robert and Chris.
Well,
sorry.
Because those who aren't watching it, they're not going to be able to see the board and know what you're doing.
Yeah, we can put some notes in. But next week we're going to use illustrations, and we're going to be very Hebraic because we're going to draw pictures. But what I'm going to show you is this. Here's your homework assignment. I want you to figure out what you think the word blessed is.
Okay.
Because the word has actually been hijacked today. Mm. And I love what the HCSB tried to do. Mm-hmm. They tried to interpret the word as happy, but then even that word's been kind of hijacked. So find out what the word makarios means in Greek, and then try to figure out what Jesus means by blessed. And I'll give you a hint. It's not new car, big bank account. Okay, we'll tell you that. It's not what he had in mind. So what does it mean to be blessed? And then we're going to ask and answer. What was the purpose of these Beatitudes? Why does Jesus start with Beatitudes before he gets into unpacking his teaching? And to do that, we're going to have to go back to the Old Testament and draw pictures to get our mind wrapped around what the truth of the message is. So that's it. We're going to talk about
that.
Yep.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Candy. Mm-hmm. You guys, I want to say this. We appreciate you taking the time, all the things you do, preaching to the church, going all over the country. Both of you guys are making such an impact, but you take the time to dig a little deeper to help us all understand the Old Testament, New Testament. So just appreciate you guys doing this. Forgotten Jesus, like, share, let everybody know so we can learn about the Rabbi Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, see you next time.